Jabba, this is your last chance. Free us or die.
This is Return of the Pod. Many boats and welcome to Return of the Pod, a podcast where we discuss and celebrate Star Wars, Star Trek, Lord of the Rings, Indiana Jones, books, comics, Marvel, DC, Kurosawa, Scorsese, Glenn Powell, musical theater, classical theater, video games, art, architecture, Seinfeld, fine dining, downhill skiing, gigs, gags, folks, fun, backflips, flip-flops, the spread eagle, liver disaster, HBO's Rome, and much, much more. Every generation is a legend. Every legend is a podcast, and this is ours. I am your host, Brian Silliman. Joining me are the greatest co-hosts in the galaxy, starting with voice of her generation, Caitlin M. Bush.
Hello there.
And Captain Matt Romano.
Greetings.
Welcome back to Return of the Pod, and welcome to 2024.
Woo. We did it. We're here. Brian, that was a truly impressive list of celebratory items. Thank you for that. That was great.
Yes. Thank you, CMB. Yeah. And that's our new language that we'll probably change for our next episode.
We'll see.
But we're in the process. So as I just said, we're in the process of changing up our format a little bit. In the past, we've been based in Star Wars with some departures here and there, but we've long wanted to expand outward into so many other areas on a more consistent basis. For this first episode back, though, we're going to keep things familiar and at home. That's right. This will be a Star Wars episode.
Wow. A whole new show. Feels like a whole new show.
I don't know. Everyone's having such a good time with structural changes.
Everyone.
We're recording on January 17th, 2024, and there has been a lot of Star Wars news at the top of the year. Whew. We're going to run it all down and get hyped about it. We're going to get caught up in it.
You'll get caught up in it.
Wow, caught up in it.
We're going to get caught up in it. Matt, do you have Star Wars news fever?
I got a fever.
Oh, I've got the fever.
Do you?
I've got the whole thing. A flu. I've got the flu.
The cough.
COVID.
Mono.
Cough. Yeah, the mono.
The consumption.
Yeah, the consumption. The
syphilis.
The whoop and cough. The Star Wars whoop and cough. I've got it, baby.
Say it, baby.
Hey, baby.
Well, time for a jumbo main session version of News on the March.
News on the March.
Woo! I love News on the March. You know, that's something that's never going away.
It's good to get a classic News on the March. And this, like I said, is jumbo News on the March. So let's get right into this news. The biggest news, I'd say, I think you both agree. I know because we texted about it.
Yes, indeed.
This news is that Baby is going to be hitting the big screen. That's right. Grogu and the Mandalorian, are going to be starring in their own movie on the big screen, which is for now titled The Mandalorian and Grogu.
Yes. Oh man, wow.
Straightforward to the point.
Yeah. It will be directed by Jon Favreau. We do not know if this replaces Mando season 4 or if it's in addition to it. From what it looks like, this will be the next big screen Star Wars movie, unless we never hear about it again. But we don't know. So for thoughts on this news, I'm going to get right down to it and go right CMB, Caitlin M. Bush. What are your thoughts here?
This feels like the natural progression, right? I mean, as Disney Plus has been the space for Star Wars for quite a long time, even with the sequel trilogy that came out here, I think there's been a pause on Star Wars movies. So somehow it makes sense to take what has been supremely popular on streaming and bring it to theaters where people are going to pay quite a bit of money to go and see Baby and Big Daddy Mando having their adventures out in the wild. But And I know this is something that we will get into. I will be very interested to see how well this translates between the streaming world and actually putting butts in chairs in theaters, because
right.
that feels like a different audience at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting point. Matt Romano, CMB, laying it out there that there's a natural progression, dare I say, possibly a clear order, and questioning whether it's going to put butts in seats. Though I heard a little at the beginning, like a little dubious sound coming from you.
Wow, you caught it. See,
please expand on that and any other thoughts you have. Matt Romano.
I have a lot of thoughts. First of all, let's just say, super excited. Love this. Yeah. I love Mando. I love Grogu. I love that we're getting the movie. So however it happened, I'm happy it's happening. You know, very excited. But here's the thing. I think it's a little weird, the timing of this and everything, you know, because Disney just came off like a really terrible year at the box office. Mm. And they announced all these other movies that are still there, that they say they're still working on at Star Wars Celebration. And if you had planned to make this movie, why didn't you do it then? But maybe something in the creative process recently when they were developing season 4, they're like, fuck it, we'll just make it a movie, you know, and like, they're going to like condense it and maybe their plans change. So I'm just hoping that it's not like a money decision and it's more of like a creative decision to do this.
That's a good point.
Mm, so you are a little worried that they're throwing baby at the problem.
They're throwing baby at the problem. Exactly. It's like, what's a sure bet?
That's a good way.
And what can we
it.
Shoot on the volume for like $35 million as opposed to $100 million? Like, it seems like a sure bet at the box office, which they're betting on. But to Caitlin, to your point, those audiences are different. People that, you know, have, there's three seasons of Mando and lore and connected shows now. And like, that's a different audience than a general Star Wars audience that's going to go see something new and familiar. If you don't know the backstory, I don't know.
And why would you go and spend, you know, $24 to buy a theater ticket and sit yeah. there for 2.5 hours watching this thing that you have no idea of a backstory for and that you require three seasons of television in order to actually understand what it is we're talking
exactly.
about?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, it turns off people. They'll turn people off. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unless you don't, theoretically, they do it in a way kind of like Lone Wolf and Cub, where for all of those movies, you don't really need to have seen the other ones. It's
and this
he's
is true.
Here, baby's yeah. there. And if it's like they just go on an adventure with new characters that are self-contained for that movie, you won't need all the lore. I don't know if that's how it's going to be.
Well, and that's the thing, is that it depends, as you're saying, on what they choose to do here. And obviously, we, as much as we try to here, we actually can't see the future as convinced as we are about this for ourselves.
Yeah. They don't take my TBD. Calls. They don't call me. You know, there's a real breakdown of communication between Lucasfilm and myself. And I'm at the table. I'm ready to mend this fence. Here's a question based on what you both brought up. And I think it's worthwhile. Does having this, you already said this movie is obviously Mando, Grogu, Yoda baby. Who knows what else they'll bring in? Mandalorian history, the history of Grogu's species. Talk weird, I do. Kooky me. It's so ingrained in Disney Plus streaming shows. Do you think, and I think you feel like it potentially could, and this is a pitfall, that could work against it? Because we've heard it with Marvel before, the complaints of people don't want homework to understand a movie. They don't want to have to watch three Marvel shows to understand Ms. Marvel and the Diary of Destiny coming soon. But do we think that that'll affect it in a negative way unless, you know, they skirt around that somehow? It sounds like you both think that it could.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. I mean, because they have all these other movies coming out that are like much easier entry points for new viewers or casual Star Wars fans, because even the Rey movie, like there's not so much backstory there. There's just, you know, three other movies you have to like catch up on Rey with. But maybe like it all depends upon the timing of where this movie fits into the current Star Wars story, because this could be just a total, here's the Filoni Favreau thing going on. You've got like Heir of the Empire. Maybe this ends up being a trilogy. They just haven't announced it yet. And the Grogu Mando movie is like episode one. Episode two is Heir to the Empire. And then who knows? That's actually what I would love to see, because I'm kind of sick of all these like single named projects. You know, let's get back to like the crazy titles. Like, where's the Phantom Menace and the Empire Strikes Back? Where's the drama? It's like all these just names. You know, every series is just a name.
Just these names. You know?
Well, man, I tell you, back in the day, there was people did not like the title The Phantom Menace, and they didn't like Attack of the Clones.
We like it now.
Uphill both ways during a snowstorm.
In my newspaper and in the snowstorm. No, it's just
it
character
depends.
Names is one yeah. thing. Yeah, it's unless they just call it Bridger and he's, you know,
and that's what was going to happen. You know, they've got Lando coming. They're just names, you know,
they're just names. All Star Wars you're saying they're just names,
but I guess like that's Iron Man, Captain America. I mean, they're all the superheroes are names.
So no,
too.
What you're saying is yeah. you want, but if they came to you and said the show is called Matt, like you'd be like, no way.
No, it would be, I would want it to be called like, The Divine Destiny of a Road Not Traveled, The Matt Story, you know, episode 5.
The Matt, okay, you had me until colon The Matt Story. So there are a lot of Matts.
That's where I my name is, yeah, yeah.
I know you're the just, top one, but, yeah. Okay, CMB, fun question before we move on to something else. Who do you think the villain of this movie could be? And, I mean, also, who would you like it to be?
Ooh, now there's something. Let's see here. I think that I want the villain of this movie to be Babu Frick.
Oh,
yes, yes.
And we need to have a Tiny Icons face off between Grogu and Babu Frick for the 2020s cutest little guy storyline, you know, of the decade kind of thing. So let's go with that.
Matt, yep. There you go. That's the new title called Bad Baby.
Bad yep. Baby. Yeah.
There
Bad Baby
go.
Babu Frick.
Bring it up. Bad Baby.
Bad Baby. Oh, Bad Baby.
Sorry about that. He's young.
Bad Baby.
this also, it bears mentioning, Matt, that you also mentioned, I think, in our text thread, do we think we'll have Pedro Pascal's face in this
yes.
movie.
Yeah, let's we have to, right? Go. I mean, that's another reason. Yeah, I mean, yeah. like, another reason to make this a movie is, like, they can probably get Pedro for, like, the time they need him for.
Yep.
You know,
please,
bigger money.
Please
take the mask
off. Please, this Pedro. Movie. He directed Iron Man. Please.
Please, Pedro.
But come on, they got to take the
Let
mask off, right? He's got to be there. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, just or have someone rip it off. I don't know.
Yeah.
There we go.
But wait, I have a thought on the villain, too. I got a crazy
okay,
thought.
Okay, okay. Yeah,
tell us.
And I don't think I'm the only one to have thought of this because it's batshit insane, this one. And you're going to laugh, but I actually think it could be cool.
Steppenwolf?
Who's the enemy of this movie? Luke Skywalker. Now, hear me out, okay?
All right,
it's
Brian's already
Luke.
Rolling his eyes. There was
yeah,
a definite
no. If I can remind you of a story... about Luke Skywalker and cloning, where there was an evil Luke Skywalker created.
Oh my God, Luke.
And his name was Luke.
So you're talking about Luke?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
The two Utes?
Yeah,
that's
so
what you're talking
what
about?
What if the whole cloning story comes around to like the fact somebody got Luke's hand from Empire after it was chopped off.
Oh!
They cloned him, and there's an evil Luke Skywalker in the galaxy posing as Luke Skywalker. It's Mando versus Luke. Turns out it's not Luke. It's like the good Luke. But then you kind of like,
you know
get,
what?
I don't know, Luke back in there.
You know what? Great. Let's go, man.
Is that
you know,
a hot
that
take?
Sounds fantastic.
It is. Sound that. And I'll tell you, because that's how Luke was created with the hand.
Yeah.
Back in,
yeah.
in
that's
the
what I'm
original
saying.
Thrawn trilogy.
Luke.
But yep. also, I mean, there are a lot of people that did not like the Luke we met in Book
right.
of Boba Fett. So
right.
if they
so
say,
like,
well, that
what
wasn't
if
him,
he
that
was
Luke?
Actually just dark-sided Luke
Ooh,
the whole
yeah.
time?
Whoa,
Ooh.
There you go. That's another layer.
Yeah. See, if that's it, because I can't believe him saying that. Like, I think that's cool. I do.
It's cool, right? It's kind of cool.
Did we all just agree on something a little unhinged?
Yes.
bring in Joris Kaboth while we're playing. I mean, we could just do the whole thing. And... So I'm wondering, but even before you said it was Luke and just like just Luke Skywalker, I don't, it's like Luke Skywalker original article is the villain.
I think it would be interesting.
Yeah, because that's great. That no, there's got to be a twist. You can't make Luke just the bad guy. You know, yeah. It's boring. Let's make it. But bring the cloning stuff in. I don't know. Just go
we
crazy.
We all know Matt loves his clones.
I love my clones.
Yeah.
But when we know the whole show is about it, it's all about cloning. We still don't know where the Yoda baby comes from. Come on.
It's something like we didn't hate Tony Stark for that long after Civil War, did we? Well, not in the comic, but in the movie. You know, we didn't stay mad at Robert Downey Jr. I think that's a false equivalent. Anyway, so now this Mandalorian Grogu is added to the ever-growing list of Star Wars movies in development. Let's take a moment and run down everything we know about all of the movie projects that theoretically are in development right now. In addition to this movie, we have Dave Filoni's Mandoverse New Republic era catch-all. Totally going to be called Heir to the Empire, but we don't know that yet. So we got one. I'd say likely, wouldn't you say? It's like, we'll see that.
I think so.
It's safe. Yeah.
Then we have the Rey movie, Jedi New Order or some such, starring Daisy Ridley and directed by Charmaine Obaid-Chinoy.
Woo! I like this!
This one also seems fairly likely. Yep. Oh, I'm saying that mostly because I really want it. So...
It's happening. That's happening.
Selfishly.
Got it.
Selfishly. I want to see Rey on Coruscant in the old Jedi Temple. That's right.
Hell yes.
The Dawn of the Jedi movie, directed by James Mangold. The more I think about it, the cooler I think that could be.
Yeah.
Taika Waititi's Star Wars movie, seemingly getting less likely by the minute.
I don't think so.
The Doomsday Clock.
In my brain, I've been calling it Star Wars Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah, because that logo. Yeah. What was that? We're never going to know, guys. It's not
We're
happening.
Never going to know, no but way. In my brain, it was Star Wars Schoolhouse Rock forever and always.
Yeah. Yep. And they were just, I'm just the Bill on Coruscant Hill. Yeah. Something
sitting
like that.
Here on Coruscant Hill.
Somebody miraculously is listening to this right now and just scribbled furiously some notes. It's like Cribbin from Matt Romano again. Also, Luke. So there's another one.
Keep them coming.
It's like, should we? Something from Sean Levy, which I keep forgetting about.
What?
We don't know what this is other than what I just said, something from Sean Levy.
Okay. Right? All right.
Okay. So whatever that is.
That thing.
It's a droid story. Probably a droid story.
Oh, man. Yeah. Clink's doing push-ups getting ready right now. Perennially on the back burner, not an active development that we know of, but still not shut down, is the potential new trilogy from Rian Johnson.
I need it. I don't know. Like, I need to breathe, but we are never seeing it.
Yeah, it's not happening.
No.
Yeah,
I would love it, but unfortunately, because he was treated so well by the fandom just welcomed him, and he's so beloved, but I just think he doesn't know. No. After all that happened or whatever else, I don't blame him. If he's like, I'm going to make mystery
saying,
movies.
I'm going to
Benoit Blanc.
Peace out.
Like, they like me over there. Y'all can.
I'm gonna go hang out with James Bond. Y'all can like sit over there in the corner. Don't blame him.
But as such a Rian Johnson fan, though, I'm like, what? Wow, did that just get blown?
I feel like if they made those movies, if he made those movies, that's like a sign of the apocalypse. It's like one of the four horsemen.
I agree at this point. It makes me sad.
We're all going to burn each other down.
Let them ride.
Let us rot in hell.
It's Rian Johnson on that horse. Why is it on fire?
The movie's confirmed as not happening. Rogue Squadron from Patty Jenkins, delayed indefinitely. The movie from Benioff and Weiss was scrapped. And Kevin Feige's potential movie, never found out what that was. Benioff and Weiss recently said theirs was going to be something about the first Jedi. So it sounds like it's a little close, at least on the surface, from what the James Mangold movie's going to be about. So,
and they also got around those seeing the finale of Game of Thrones, and they were like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I was a little behind. Just caught up on the last episodes."
Wow.
Do you think that's what that was? That had something to do with it.
I think it did. I think they did lose some capital with Game of Thrones.
They definitely did.
Yeah.
Okay. So ping pong into you, question for you, CMB. Do you think it was because they saw the finale of Game of Thrones, or they saw the reactions to Game of Thrones?
I think they saw the reactions to Game of Thrones.
Reactions.
Yeah.
I think for Star Wars especially, we've seen a pattern of, and it's not a bad marketing scheme, but Disney is very in tune with public discourse and what is being said, and very willing to react to that and change its course depending upon that.
Yeah, overreact too. Yeah,
right. For better or for worse, or however you take it, that's just how the company is, and so that's how it keeps good favor for, you know, decades and decades and millennia, etc. So yeah, I think they saw the writing on the wall, on the digital wall of Twitter or X or what the hell ever, and said, maybe these aren't the guys to like carry this beloved, you know, generationally defining franchise into the future.
Yeah.
Got in one little fight, Bob Iger got scared and said, you're moving literally anywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. So any other thoughts on movies, Matt Romano, CMB, before we move on to streaming television news?
I think we should just work on the titles of all these things. And I'm excited to figure out what the order is of these. And there's a lot here. It's going to be weird
so
a few
much.
Years because they're also different time periods. Like this is going to be quite the experiment.
For the casual viewer, this is going to be really jarring.
Yeah, it's all over the place. Yeah. You know? But I'm in for it. I'm in it. You know, that's
I'm excited. Let's go, folks. Let's give
my
me
money.
Give me a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, give me a Star Wars movie. Let's go to the movies again.
Let's have
again.
A movie. Let's say, let's all go.
Let's all go. We should all
let's
get
all
tickets.
Let's all hang
same
out with
row.
Nicole Kidman. Let's go
that's
to the movies.
Right.
Yes.
Somehow, heartbreak feels good in a place like this.
Caitlin, we like Regal on this one, on this show. Okay,
this is true. We're a Regal. Thank you, Brian, for reminding me. We are a Regal family here.
I'm an Elmo draft man. You know, remember? I need to have a meal now.
And you all say I'm elitist.
I'm not satisfied unless I have a 3-course meal.
Here's your $100 chicken sandwich.
Brian and I are a Regal family. Get with the picture, Mike.
Regal. We get that quotes ad that boomerang back to we hated it, then we loved it, and then they took it away, and we have the roller coaster and it stinks, but we love it.
Hey, if they're listening, they can have all of the ad time. Well, you know, just a few free movie tickets and it's all yours, Regal.
The last time I was Regal, there, man. The movie didn't start until like a half hour because there were so many ads.
There's so many ads.
So here's other projects, other news that's come up recently. Season 2 of Ahsoka!
You're stuck with me, Sky Guy.
Yeah, all right.
Which is cool. Part of the same announcement, they threw this in, and then it was further confirmed, I think, the next day by Dave Filoni, and that came in the form of one of his incredible original sketches, which was of Ahsoka and Sabine standing on the outstretched arm of the giant Mortis father statue on Peridia. So they're still there on Peridia, and from this image, it would seem that we're going to be following up on what Baylan Skoll was exploring in season 1. So I saw this, and I was excited because I think more of that show is great. And I also thought very quickly after that of Matt Romano, as I always do, and how you said, we don't want to have the Heir to the Empire movie, like half of it. How do they get back?
Yeah.
You know, then blah, blah.
Correct.
So season 2, I think potentially could be whatever this Mortis, Peridia, possibly Zepho connection could be. It's all, it's going to be that. And they found Ezra. So that's potentially season 2, the other stuff happening later. Not sure. But thoughts on this? Let's start with you, Matt Romano.
Yeah, I would say place your bets that Ahsoka season 2 ends with like her getting on a ship or being propelled back to the galaxy and her just showing up for whatever the start of the next thing is. So I think, not to say that Ahsoka season 2 is going to be the end of the Ahsoka series, but I think it's a good bet that like it'll be Ahsoka season 2 and you won't see a standalone Ahsoka show until we get through the hump of the movies, you know?
Mm. Any thoughts, EMB?
I agree with that. Yeah, I think Ahsoka season 2 is the lead in
Yeah, is the lead-in. Yeah,
is the lead-in to the movie. And I think since, you know, we know that Mando and Baby movie is coming as well, I think, you know, maybe the joining of the gang on the big screen is maybe going to be kind of a sequel to Mando and Baby on the big screen. And it's all, you know, it's all part of the same story.
So wait, Ahsoka leaves on a ship at the end of season two. And the ship arrives in a post-credit scene in Grogu and Baby. Yeah, and that's it. And then and Ahsoka's like, we've got to go back. We've got to go back. Din.
And then people are going to be like, who the hell is this woman? Who are just going, it's like to Mandalorian and Grogu, who is this?
He's like, well,
she was introduced in 2008. And then, you know, it's.
And Mando's like, what, do we all become assholes or something?
I mean, it's.
So it's going to be done by Grogu.
What are we going to say? That I'm a Ahsoka Tano from the Clone Wars, or like I was a heretic or something. I mean, that's great for us. All of this is great for us.
I love it.
Fantastic.
So honestly, who cares about the rest? The more we talk about this, the more I feel like whatever this heir to the Empire, you know, mega, you know, joining is going to be, if that's successful, don't you think they'll want to be like, okay, well, if that's Avengers, let's keep all those shows going and just have Avengers again in another couple of years.
Yeah. It's like, sure.
I think that's the goal. I honestly do think that is the goal here.
Yeah. Do we want that? I kind of I feel like I kind of want.
I don't think I do. But I just want the right movie. That's all. Yeah. I, that's all.
Excellent.
I care about
excellent
right
point.
Now.
Thank you for getting me back on track. Yeah. But also, I mean, I'm in this place where I really want Mando and Sabine to meet or something, or be side by side flinging their grapplers at the same time.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have either of you revisited any of Ahsoka season one before we move on to something else?
No. I depression watched all of Brooklyn Nine-Nine again. So,
I did. I wouldn't say it was necessarily depression watch, but I did watch Picard season three again.
Shut up, Wesley.
Picard.
It's not because it's weird because the beginning. Coming off our 2023 wrap up, rather.
Yep.
I was feeling really bad after that I'd said, you know, I wasn't as all that jazzed about Star Wars last year, and it had nothing to do with the quality of the shows or anything else. It's funny that this year I'm all about it right now.
Yeah. Oh, like, now. Yeah. Let's
I've
do
been
it.
Rewatching Ahsoka. I've been like, awesome. And after this,
you're
we're
okay.
Do Mando
so,
again.
So if you're revisiting season one here now with Ahsoka, Brian, what are, do you have any, additional points for us to be thinking about with it, revisiting it?
I mean, not really. I mean, for me, it plays really well a few episodes at a time. Mm-hmm. It plays like I watched 5, 6 and part of 7 and all in one at once. And I really like that ride. And now it's I've got one thing that really stands out is that, how actually really good it is in terms of Ahsoka's story and Ahsoka's character, which is a little more, for me at least, was more subtle the first time and wasn't blaring. And it was something this time that I have tuned up to. And so it's that, yes, it's a different actor, but she's older. And for older Ahsoka, that's the way I can kind of not justify, but accept the recasting for myself, because as you both know, I had, you know,
it was a bit of a difficult transition for you there for a second. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's been wonderful. And the more I just divorce it from, forget about canon, forget about what I want it to be or what I hope to be, just enjoy it for what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's great fun.
I'm glad.
And hearing David Tennant say,
a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
That is
delightful.
Cool. That's cool.
So I highly recommend picking it up. Okay. So on to more news. We've got more news. We're not done.
Whoa. Okay.
So some of this we know. Some of it was just a little more reinforced. But season 3 of The Bad Batch.
They call themselves the Bad Batch.
Still coming. We gave it short shrift in our 2023 wrap-up episode, but we're all excited about the finale of the Bad Batch, aren't we?
Yes.
Oh yeah, I'm really hoping that they just that airs on its own, so we can just like give that its due, you know? Because
instead of doubling it up again.
Yes, instead of doubling it up, yeah. Because Bad Batch is amazing. You know, that's something I really want to go back and start rewatching. You know, now that we're getting close. Yeah.
Yeah. And season two of Tales of the Jedi coming as well.
Yes.
All of that 2024.
Okay.
So that's great. Ahsoka season two, not 2024, but Bad Batch Tales of the Jedi 2024. Also 2024, Skeleton Crew and The Acolyte 2024.
Acolyte.
See, more stuff that like, you know, when we were just saying before how they're kind of all over the place. I mean, there's just so many. There's
stuff.
There's a lot of stuff. Skeleton Crew and Acolyte. More,
we got New Republic than High Republic. Strangely enough, Genevieve O'Reilly is Mon Mothma in both.
Crazy.
Not really.
I was just going to say, really? All right.
And then Andor.
I've been in this fight since I was 6 years old.
Season two, definitely coming, but we don't know if it's still a lock for 2024. The awful greed of Amp Tamp may have caused it to be pushed to 2025, but no need to rush the perfection, I would say.
Yeah, no, take all the time you need with Andor season two. Just very excited for that.
Yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait for more Andor. Video games, the game Star Wars Outlaws, which we haven't really talked about at length, that's going to be coming in 2024. And this is an interesting setup they've got here. It's from Ubisoft.
Okay. For one thing.
And right now there's a whole partition of the internet that's watching trailers and some, you know, images and video of this game. And they're saying it looks so good. We can't believe it's Ubisoft. They're the makers of the Assassin's Creed games, in case you don't know.
I was going to say, looking back on, you know, the history of Ubisoft, maybe they're having a bit of a comeback here. Assassin's Creed was a darling for quite a few years there. So maybe, you know, they're making their comeback here with this open world kind of situation with Star Wars.
I thought Valhalla I thought Valhalla was fun. I really liked Odyssey. I played that that gave me months. It's so big. That gave me months of fun. I mean, so I don't know. Anyway, but the cool thing here is it's being described as a big open world game set between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. So hopefully Matt Romano can get in there by himself, an outrider, and just go.
I mean, I'm all in if that's what we're talking about here. If it's like truly like I can, I don't know, buy a lot of stuff, collect a lot of fun stuff, then I'm in. But I don't know. I don't like the word outlaws. I don't like the Star Wars outlaws. You know, I don't know. I'm immediately turned off. Like,
you want more than the one word.
He wants the Star Wars in-laws.
Yeah.
Yes, actually, I would watch the hell out of Star Wars in-laws. What is that show?
It's actually just Meet the Fockers, but in the Star Wars universe.
Oh, give it to me. That's what we're talking about. Give me that game. Like a Sims.
Perfect.
Star Wars in-laws.
Star Wars Sims. There are lots of Star Wars mods in the Sims games, so, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
So if it's just called Star Wars: Sims, you'd be okay with that title?
Oh, yeah, sure. That works. Yeah,
let's
perfect.
Let's do it.
You got some real Goldilocks stuff. I don't know.
It's good stuff tonight. Bringing the goods.
Now, over in books and comics, there is a ton of news, but notably the High Republic.
Prosperity, pioneering, and adventure marked the era of the High Republic.
Is, of course, ongoing, and we're now in phase three, wave one. And wow, do I need to catch up. I am so behind. Also, speaking of the High Republic, there's going to be the return of the animated series Star Wars Young Jedi Adventures, which is set in the High Republic era. I've only seen one episode, but I know, Matt Romano, you're around these parts. You're the authority on this.
I have seen a ton of episodes. My son is finally like really turned on to the show. There's some really fun stuff in there. There's this villain. Oh, man, I wish I knew his name right now. Who's a chicken? He's literally like a chicken. Like he's like a Star Wars big talking like human chicken.
Did your harvester cut down the Fedarian trees?
Well, yes. I would hope so. That is, after all, what I built it to do.
What
That's not what flesh is.
I have no idea what he's saying.
And he might be one of my favorite, like, villains in Star Wars. And I need to see him in live action now. Now I need to see some of these characters make the jump.
Darth Poultry.
Darth Poultry? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I can do better than that.
Yeah.
Darth Breast. No, that sucks.
I don't got any good egg puns.
It's gonna keep getting worse the longer I talk. But I like Nubs. I've just seen enough to know I like Nubs.
Yeah, Nubs is okay. You know, to be honest, they're all annoying. They're all annoying.
Wow! Yeah. Throwing down. But Yoda's a big presence in the show, right?
Yes, Yoda is a big presence. Yeah, there's a whole episode with, like, they go on a mission with Yoda and they're all psyched for it. And Yoda's Yoda-ing, Yoda-ing, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Kooky he is.
Is he? Is he kooky?
Come with me,
off
kids.
Off the wall, EB.
That's a shift to some, a little
tell
bit
your
of
parents,
awards.
What?
Parents, tell them I be. Parental warning I should have.
I just like hearing them more on NG Yoda. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Back, none of Yoda is.
Okay. Some award news. Star Wars awards news. Projects from 2023 have been getting recognition in the form of nominations and wins at the 2024 Emmy Awards, which were delayed because of AmpTamp's unceasing greed. So they just recently happened. From the time we're recording, The Mandalorian.
Oh, Mandalorian!
Won Outstanding Stunt Performance, and Star Wars Visions won Outstanding Individual Achievement in Animation Production Design, which I thought was great.
Wow.
Nominated for Best Limited Series was Obi-Wan Kenobi!
Kenobi!
Though it did not win, but I was really happy to see love for Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, totally.
I just love that show. Beef won, which, if you've seen that, is, you know,
Beef cleaned up.
It's
a lot of beef.
It's fantastic. I really love Beef.
Yep.
Nominated for Best Drama was Andor.
6 years old.
Rightfully so, I'd say. Yeah. There was no beating Succession. I'm not going to sit here and argue with that.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Personally, I was a little sad for Better Call Saul. I think they nominated
Shut
so many times
yep.
and never won anything once the entire show. And for that cast and that everything, it's lunacy, but whatever. A lot of other shows we really like, one big, The Bear.
Yes, Chef.
Yes, Chef.
Yes, Chef.
The Last of Us, I Think You Should Leave, and more. In other award news, Dave Filoni is going to be presented with the George Pal Memorial Award at the Saturn Awards this year. They describe this award as being presented on rare occasions to a filmmaker who embodies a sense of wonder, imagination, and mastery of the fantastic in cinematic storytelling.
That's lovely.
And I'm happy to announce hosting the Saturn Awards this year is Caitlin Ann Bush.
Wow.
I've been waiting for you to make this announcement, Brian. I am truly honored. I did have to turn it down. I had a bit of a scheduling issue, but I'm sure the backups will do totally fine. Yeah.
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 Yeah. That sucks. Yeah. She's hosting the Pluto Awards.
Yeah, instead. Yeah.
And the Pluto Nash Awards, which are happening right after that. Now, you're in demand. I get it. Yet another bit of news. John Williams. This is what we'll end our big news on the march with. It would appear that the greatest to ever do it, John Williams, is not as retired as people once reported. It was previously said that Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny would be John Williams' last movie composing the score. But he has challenged that while speaking to the Times UK, saying that he doesn't like grand pronouncements like that. And if he did make one without putting it in context, he withdraws it. He continued to say, if the right film comes along and works with his schedule, then, quote unquote, everything is possible. All is before us. Only our limitations are holding us back. I like to keep an open mind. So who knows? He might come along. It might be a whole movie, or he might say, oh, you know, I'll write a theme for Heir to the Empire like he did with Obi-Wan and Solo. It's worth mentioning he is 92 years old. He was born in 1932
And Dial of Destiny was one of the best scores last year.
The man does not stop. Yep.
He doesn't. Yeah. He does not.
And that has been the Jumbo News on the March. Woo-hoo. And with that, we're going to go to break, but we're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. Don't turn us off.
I love steak, especially a thick, juicy T-bone. A1 all over the top. Perfect. Wonderful. I'm in the mood for something spicy. Tongue-tingling spicy. Spice is just... It gets you here, and it gets you right here.
I want something with gumption.
Something with a peppery kick that's spicy. A1 Bold. Yeah, that's what I'm in the mood for.
Original A1 and new A1 Bold. They're how steak is done.
This is Vanessa Marshall, and you're listening to Return of the Pod, a podcast about Star Wars. May the Force be with you. And as always, many boats.
We're back, and that's going to take us to, that's right, a little trip to the corner. And something's telling me it's a fine day in the corner, but I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. That's right, it's Captain's Corner.
I haven't had my muffin yet, Matt.
Hey. I'm trying to do the Entertainment Tonight theme. Like,
I was wondering.
Is that good?
Yeah,
no,
man.
That didn't work. Yeah.
I'm in support. Brian loves it. This is great.
Yeah, you remember Entertainment Tonight? Did they still have that show still in the air? Tonight on Entertainment Tonight.
Throwback. All right. Matt.
Well, hey, guys. This is the Captain's Corner. A very impromptu Captain's Corner. Welcome to the corner. It's a fine day in the corner. It's beautiful. It's cold. It's cold in the corner.
It's cold.
Yeah.
It's fucking cold.
It's bitter cold. You know,
I hate it.
Mother Earth is mad at us, and she's making it
crosshair
cold.
Trying to carry Mayday back through the snow cold.
Exactly that. All right. Anyway, so what are we doing in the corner today, guys? Let me tell you, we've been talking about all the news at the top of the show, all the Star Wars news, but there's just been a lot of entertainment news. You know, there's just entertainment's everywhere. You know, there's a lot of entertainment.
It's around us.
It's around us. It's consuming us. We're all going to die by the entertainment.
It binds us.
It's coming for us.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I thought I'd do a little entertainment segment, a little wrap up of the things that we didn't get to cover in the top of the show that isn't really Star Wars related. This is just all other news from the entertainment world.
Hit us with it. Yeah, let's go.
All right, so I'll hit you with the first story up. First story up in tonight's entertainment news, Captain Corner Entertainment News. William Dafoe is getting a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
You know how much I sacrifice?
So, hey, William Dafoe. Let's talk about William Dafoe. Is he great?
He's fantastic.
Fantastic.
My biggest, and he got it, like they had the ceremony, but my biggest thing with this is, how did Willem Dafoe not already have one?
Yeah, I don't understand the whole star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame
thing. All I know
thing.
Is that you have to, it is like, it's like a paid thing. It's not like, you pay money for it. It's not, you know, like some award. Yeah.
You didn't pay for yours. They just begged you to do it.
Mine's not really a star. It's more like a
hexagon.
Oval. Yeah, hexagon.
That doesn't seem fair.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Willem Dafoe is a legend. I mean, he absolutely, he's just, oh, man.
I seen it. You're fond of me lobster.
Love him.
And y'all saw that at the ceremony for his star, you know, they always have fellow actors or whomever come in and speak and give a little speech. And so I know that at Willem Dafoe's, it was Pedro Pascal and Mark Ruffalo.
Amazing.
So what a duo.
That's a fun lunch. That's a brunch. It's a fun brunch.
Willem
group.
Dafoe and Mark Ruffalo are so good in Poor Things.
Dying to see Poor Things.
Emma Stone is just absolutely like
she's
crazy,
so cool.
Next level, brilliant. I love the whole movie, but it's Mark Ruffalo. Willem Dafoe is just another brilliant Willem Dafoe, and Mark Ruffalo was a particular, really, really funny.
Yeah.
He was just making me laugh.
Well, now that I know that he paid for The Star and that Poor Things is in theaters, I see it. I see it and I hate it. We're moving on. Sorry, Willem Dafoe. Thank you. Congratulations. Moving on.
I don't think he was in danger of being asked to be on. He was not considering being on this show. So
we
right.
haven't talked to him yet. He hasn't given his call back. Anyway, other news out here in the wild, in the entertainment wild. Tom Cruise is a first look picture deal with Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers
and the Zaslav machine.
Steal him.
He's got an office right next to him. David Zaslav right next to him. It's Tom Cruise and then David Zaslav.
What a duo.
What a deal. But Caitlin, you know more about this. Did you? Because we were talking about it a little bit before. It's a first picture deal.
It's a first look deal. I think, you know, it's in the middle of signing. I mean, we all know Tom Cruise has been working pretty exclusively with Paramount for very, very long time. They really love him over there.
They love him.
And to see him go over to Warner Brothers, I think that must have been the biggest cash grab that I think is probably happening in a long
they
time.
Definitely.
And also, we're not going to get super into it, but like Scientology and all that. Yeah. So, just, you know, if you're not overly familiar with the whole Tom Cruise Scientology thing, I say just that you Google it because it's...
Yeah, it's
I don't know
a thing.
Why you wouldn't know anything about it, but it's interesting.
I'd say that secret's out, yeah.
Yeah, I think
we don't talk about it at all. You know, it's not something, you know, I think we've all just kind of decided to move on, you know, kind of. Who knows what's going on over there? But Zaslav sent the Animaniacs over to his house with a big, big bin of money.
They're like, and just like put a big
hit him with a mallet.
Beekeeper's net over his head. And it's like,
oh, put him on the back of the motorcycle, but don't drive it off a cliff.
He said, do you want to star, Tom Cruise, do you want to star in the next Barbie movie?
Exactly. He was like, yes.
Hello, yes. Cruise.
Yes. Yeah, now he lives in the water tower with the Animaniacs making movies.
And the Warner sister, Rebecca Ferguson.
So anyway, Tom Cruise, that's great. And just to end, Caitlin, then Paramount to counter this amazing news, obviously, very quickly announced Top Gun 3. So Miles Teller is back.
Miles Teller, Glenn Powell,
Glenn Powell having a great year, Glenn Powell.
Great year, that one. I think we, in our previous podcast, I had mentioned that I wanted to see Anyone But You, which is the movie, the rom-com
was that good?
Doing with Sydney Sweeney.
Well,
yeah.
We'll find out in just a couple minutes, Matt.
Is that going to be a thing? We can do that.
Yeah, all right.
We'll find about.
There we go.
All right. Stay tuned. Don't we're going to get back to that. All right. Mm-hmm. So Top Gun 3, very excited. Tom Cruise having a great year. Great, I guess. I don't know. Cool. We're all excited.
I mean, wait just a minute. Talk about movies that, you know, one word title that I know that rubs your goat, Matt.
What's that?
Top Gun Maverick. What are they going to call this? Like,
Top Gun Rooster. Yeah. It's going to be Top Gun Maverick, but like the A is going to be a 3 or something.
You know what they'll probably do is just call it Top Gun again, like nothing else.
Yeah.
And it's like, well,
the
which
toppest
one?
Toppest gun. Yeah.
Is it the old Halloween or the new Halloween?
It's actually just Mission Impossible. The next Mission Impossible movie, Dead Reckoning Part 2, is actually just Top Gun 3.
Yes. Probably.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dun,
yeah.
Dun,
Ethan
dun,
Hunt
dun,
falls dun, through dun, a portal. Dun. Who knows? Yeah. It's AI. Next up in the news. Empire had an exclusive first look at Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. And I just wanted to bring this up because they also revealed today in the news that like they're making this new Ghostbusters movie like the cartoon, like more in the style of the cartoon, the real Ghostbusters cartoon, which I don't know if you guys are familiar, but it was like, you know, the batshit crazy animated version of Ghostbusters.
Of course I'm familiar.
I love this show.
You mean the real Ghostbusters.
The real Ghostbusters, yeah. Brian. Not the other Ghostbusters. Not the ones with the monkey. Not the ones with the monkey.
The ape and the cool car. The
yeah. Yeah. We all know what we're talking about.
What?
Ow.
Slimer. Let me at him. Let me blast him. Come on.
But Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, I wanted to bring up again because I said... Really, all I need for a Ghostbusters movie is the toys. They got the firehouse, they got the car. They got the, you know, I don't know, probably some Stay Puft Marshmallow Man running that round
the
in there.
The Ectocopter.
Yeah, the Ectocopter. Yeah, they're going to have all that stuff. So it's exciting. And they also released a picture of like the four Ghostbusters, except instead of Egon, you have Janine. And she's all looking like Janine from the cartoon. Right. So I don't know.
She was in the uniform in the cartoon, right?
Yeah. I don't think she ever suited up in the cartoon. Maybe towards the end she did. Maybe once in a while.
I think there was a figure of her in the suit.
Oh, definitely a figure of her in the suit. Multiple.
And there was the thing on the elbow and the beam like twisted around, right?
Oh, yeah. There you go. Remember that? You're a fan. You're going to be there Frozen Empire Night 1.
I know the real Ghostbusters on the toy. I still haven't seen Ghostbusters Afterlife, but I do know that McKenna Grace is in final talks to play Caitlin Bush in the Caitlin Bush untitled biopic.
Now that'd be something. That would be something. Is that happening?
I don't know. Final talks. I don't know if they're going to succeed.
Brian's my manager.
How are they going to fit it all in one movie?
He's going to handle it.
Well, it's untitled at the moment, and it's really just going to be the first of many movies. But we're all very excited over here at Return of the Pod Studios. Yeah.
All right. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Very exciting. And now very quickly, let's go back to awards season, because there was a lot of hubbub this award season, and mainly because the Emmys kind of fell right in the same time period as all the other award shows this year because of the writers and actors strike. It was pushed back because we don't normally get like the Emmys, the Critics' Choice Awards and the Golden Globes like in the same week.
Within seven days of each other.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. It's like, and the winner is Beef. The winner is the bear. The winner is Beef. The winner is the bear.
Succession.
Succession, yeah.
It's a little off the wall.
It's a little off the wall. But you know what? I watched them all because I'm a sick, sick person.
You watched all of them?
I didn't watch the Critics' Choice Awards, but I watched the Golden Globes and the Emmys.
Oh my God. That's so, I didn't watch any of them.
I don't know why I do it. I watch them all.
Oh my God.
I'm a sucker. Anyway, I'll just say this. The host of the Golden Globes, awful. I don't know if you guys saw that guy. I don't even know his name. I'm not even going to say his name.
I think it's Joe Coy.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, it was just rough set.
That wasn't great.
Wasn't great. You know, why don't you leave the writers and Taylor Swift alone? Okay.
There you go.
Moving on. Robert Downey Jr. had some good moments at these awards. At the Critics' Choice Awards, he won for Best Actor in Oppenheimer, also in the Golden Globes, I think. And he read off like all like the horrible critiques throughout his career.
And lastly, and this one lingered, amusing as a bedlocked fart.
Yeah, which I thought was very funny. That was good stuff.
Good for him.
I'm happy about that. I think he could get the Oscar, and it's a wonderful performance.
Quite the story for him too, that I loved.
Yeah.
Then Harrison Ford got a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Critics' Choice Awards, so he's getting a lot of those now. You know,
hell yeah, he's getting up there.
He's getting up there, so they're all like, you know, Harrison, come on in, and he's like,
I don't care.
And they're like, come on, please.
He said, I don't care. Just let me do my Apple TV Plus series and leave me alone.
Yeah, exactly. Just leave me alone. So that was great. Ryan Gosling won Best Original Song at the Critics' Choice Awards for
Deeply Baffled.
I'm Just Ken.
And looked deeply baffled.
Deeply baffled. And so was I, because as we were talking about Caitlin before the show, it's kind of hilarious that this song would win and beat Billie Eilish's song from Barbie, the same movie, which is about men stealing the spotlight. And then here comes Ryan Gosling winning the Critics' Choice Award
for a song about how he's just Ken and it's cool to just be Ken.
Right. And he doesn't have to win the awards.
Exactly.
So
it's something tells me that the point was maybe lost in the larger conversation.
Ironic. Yeah. Yeah.
But someone needs to brewski beer somebody, sounds like.
But also, it is a banger of a song, and we love Ryan Gosling.
It's a great song.
And good, you know, hopefully he just performs at the Oscars. Let's do it.
Let's get them all up there. Ryan.
There's no way that isn't happening.
Yeah, it's got to be, right? It's got to be happening.
Yeah, him and Simu got to break out those little dance moves.
Yep.
Yep. Let's go.
Well, you know I'll be watching the Oscars because, again, I'm a sick, sick person.
Sick, twisted person.
Well, I always watch the Oscars if I'm home. I always do.
I do too. I can't help myself.
Come on.
I'm a sucker
for that.
We'll
do it together this year. It'll be
for
fun.
Old Hollywood.
Yeah. Like, I tell you, that Caitlin and Bush biopic is going to be big next year. We're going to get McKenna Grace. We're going to get Downey Jr. We're going to get Gosling. It's going to be good.
Sign her up for 6 movies. The Ghostbusters kid. 6 movies.
Jesus Christ.
All right. But anyway, that's all the, like, my entertainment news that I had jotted down. It's not very coherent or makes like
you, slowly,
like,
you
like,
just slowly turned into Charlie Day a little bit.
I did. But this is all the things I wanted to talk about with you guys. So do you guys have any other favorite award moments from this season?
I personally would love to talk about the very cute little bit that our boy Pedro Pascal and Kieran Culkin were doing during the awards ceremony. If anyone was watching. Been seeing images of Pedro recently, including during his speech for at the Hollywood Walk of Fame recently for Willem Dafoe. He's got a little bit of a sling going on on one of his arms. I guess he hurt his shoulder falling down some stairs.
And he had "ouch" written on his fingertips. I don't know if you know.
His manicure said "ouch," which is adorable. Fantastic. We love him. Yeah. So he. when Kieran Culkin won for lead actor over Pedro at, I believe, the Critics' Choice Awards, in the opening of his speech, his response was,
"Suck it, Pedro. Sorry."
And the two of them were, everyone laughed. It was a very good joke, very good time. And then over at the Emmy Awards, I believe it was, Pedro got on stage and, said,
"A lot of people have been asking about my arm. It's actually my shoulder. And I think tonight is a perfect time to tell everyone that Kieran Culkin beat the shit out of me."
So, and they, the cute little moment, they had a laugh, but it's very, very nice, I think, to see these kind of things. And obviously the internet loves it and we love it here. So
I honestly, I think that's why I watch award shows, because I love to see the camaraderie. I'm always looking for like whatever the horrible thing is going to be that everybody talks about the next day, like waiting for the train wreck, like
for the train wreck or for the cute little moments like this, we get to chuckle about together.
Yeah. And then feel like we're all friends, right?
We're all friends
here, right? Kieran and Pedro.
it's the friends. What's the word? It's the, parasocial.
Yeah. Parasocial relationship. Really, at all.
Yeah. It really hits that like even further, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Well, anyway, Brian, you have a favorite award season moment? No, you didn't watch any of them.
I'm happy that. I didn't watch any of those, but I was. I do keep up and watch, especially because I love actors, I love stories, I love so many movies in 2023. I'm curious what's going to get celebrated and everything else. And one tough one is I love Cillian Murphy and I love him in Oppenheimer.
Yeah,
and I think Oppenheimer is most likely going to win Best Picture unless something crazy happens. And I would have thought it looked like Cillian Murphy was going to take Best Actor. And then Paul Giamatti won recently for The Holdovers.
Unexpected. And
And they're so different, the performances, but both incredible. And I've loved Paul Giamatti for the longest time. I've loved Cillian Murphy. I don't know.
And that's a great movie too. Holdovers is a wonderful movie.
It's phenomenal. And so how do you which one is better? It's just subjective, isn't it? It's neither is better. They're both brilliant in their own way, but that's what this whole thing is about. It's about giving someone a statue, isn't it? So I don't know. If it was me, I'd give one award to you, Matt Romano, one to you, Caitlin and Bush, and just everyone else. You're all awesome. I like you all. End of show.
Right. I do like, how they keep adding more new categories, like the Golden Globes added a new category so Barbie could win a big award because it wasn't going to win.
It's like
the box office award.
But to your point, Brian, it's like give all these awards and it's all subjective and all whatever shady things are going on behind the scenes with the campaigns and the reasons why they're giving these awards to these people. Like, who knows?
And you got it's a not statue. Like a,
yeah, it's not, there's no numbers here. It's all subjective. It's a statue.
Yeah. They're all good movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
It would have been made.
Exactly.
I can think of a few exceptions, but those aren't. It's like, I'm not going to say it's bad. I say, well, it's not for me. As Spike Lee said once on a post show or something, he's like, not my cup of tea about one particular winner. So I'm like, yeah, that's a good way to put it. I'm sure a lot of these are for someone, not always for me.
Exactly. But, you know, and that's okay.
As we do here, we always try and find the bright side.
the softer side
of Sears. You know.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, that'll do it for my entertainment report. And that's it. Thanks for coming. Bye-bye. I'm John Tesh.
I was wondering if you were going to bring that out.
Was that his name, John Tesh, right? Yeah.
I know it was Mary Hart, but in general, you did not let me down. That's going to take us to a brand new segment here on Return of the Pod. It's always an exciting show when we unveil a brand new segment. And this is going to be recurring every time we do an episode. So get ready for CMB's Glenn Powell Digest, starring Caitlin M. Bush.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your savior speaking.
For the record, I did not ask for this. This was gifted to me.
Yeah, this is kind of forced.
By one Brian Sullivan. It's the dumbest thing in the world. And I cackled for a solid 3 minutes upon finding this in our script. So the only things that I will say about this, beyond what we were saying about Top Gun 3 before, Top Gun 3 itself is not confirmed. There is a script probably in the works in Warner Brothers or in Paramount's attempts to bring Tom Cruise back into their clutches from Warner Brothers.
Got it.
Glenn Powell and Miles Teller coming too. And no one has said anything about anything from their parties. So not that they wouldn't return, because let's be honest, the money in that is incomparable.
They want to fly those jets.
They want to fly those jets again. And we want them to fly those jets again.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will go see that movie again in theaters 3-4 times. Who knows?
How was the other movie, though? What's it called?
Anyone But You movie. And look.
Yes.
Wow, you are a child.
It's a pretty long flight. Do you want anything from the front of the boat?
I'm all good on creatine and small dick and security.
Nothing small about me.
I love a rom-com. I feel like we all love rom-coms. So the fact that this movie has done pretty damn well at the box office is very encouraging to me for the rebirth of the rom-com, especially with Will Gluck at the helm here. The movie itself, I had incredibly low expectations going into it. I laughed my ass off. It was hilarious.
Happy to hear it.
It was so funny. Glenn was great. I love Sydney Sweeney. She is not a comedic actress. She is a wonderful dramatic actress. Kind of misses some of the beats there. But otherwise, I had a fantastic time, and everyone should go see Anyone But You. And it is very inappropriate. Do not take your children and do not watch it with your parents. But it very much earns its R rating. But I had a damn good time, and everyone was beautiful in it.
Fantastic. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Now, because you've seen this movie and this Sydney Sweeney, the Sydney Sweeney of it all. Do you want to see Madame Web? Can we go see Madame Web?
No, we cannot see Madame Web.
No,
we have to go.
He was in the Amazon with my mom when she was researching spiders right before she died.
We have to. Ever since now, I was at a different movie and they played that trailer and that line. There weren't a lot of people in this theater, but it was a huge laugh.
I'm going to buy the tickets.
You guys
and we're
are
going
to force me
drinks,
to go see
and
Madame
force
Web,
you
aren't
go
you?
See it. Look, yeah, and we should do a whole episode of Madame Web.
I'm not going to sit here and force you to do anything, but I think it would be fun.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. In terms of, and this is going to be, I would like it if this was a recurring part of this segment, but of course it's your segment. The Glenn Powell Hunkorama meter. From 1 to 10, hunkoromically, where would you put this movie, this piece of Glenn Powell?
I mean, the hunk is at a full 10. The whole point of this is that he's kind of like a douchey hunk throughout the entire movie. So we got to give it a 10. I'm waiting for twisters. really is the next big movie with Glenn Powell. So I'm waiting for that one to really come through. Yeah, man. Let's go.
Oh, boy.
Douchey Hunk is the working title for Top Gun 3, weirdly enough.
It's so true.
Well, I think that's a wonderful segment, and I'd call that a success. We'll look forward to that next time. That's going to take us into real talk.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
Over on Apple Podcasts, we want to say a hello to TK Linden. Thank you so much for your wonderful review. Funny, at the beginning, they say get caught up in the crosshair, which, of course, a bit near and dear to all of our hearts here. But the title of the review, I particularly loved, Mandalore, Mortis, and Mayhem. And if we ever change the name of the show, I kind of want it to be that.
That's very good.
So, TK Linden, thank you so much for your very kind words. Matt Romano, I know we have stuff in the mailbag and we have some Buy Me a Coffees, but we're going to get to them next time. Am I correct?
Yeah, real quick shout out to the Buy Me a Coffees, Sean D and Dylan B. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. And thank you all for sending in the voicemails. We're just running a little long tonight, so we'll get to those next time. But keep them coming at returnofthepod.net. Drop us a voicemail, a message. And hey, I love these Apple reviews. If you leave, anyone who leaves a 5-star Apple review is going to get this.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Yes, I'd rather fancy it myself.
Yeah, anytime. We'll always read it. We'll always read the review, and you'll get that. 5 stars on Apple. We appreciate it.
So, this is a fine time to say what's next in terms of our next episode. When will we be back? We don't know. We have a lot of things we want to cover, and I'm willing to bet that Matt has a special digital deck to present to both myself and Caitlin.
I do. New formats, new things we could do. We could try Madam Web, you know.
it's truly bursting with it's a murder of topics is
murder
what it is.
Murder of topics for sure.
So we don't know when, but we will be back soon, and you could follow our show socials to get updates. Matt, what are they in addition to the things you just said?
Oh yeah, you can get us at, well, like I said, returnofthepod.net. You can get us on Twitter, X, whatever it is, at returnofthepod. Just look for us. We're around. We're there.
Instagram, Facebook, TikTok.
There, all of them. Yep.
And you could visit returnofthepod.store where you can buy all kinds of merchandising.
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 Merchandising. Merchandising.
Matt, what's a hot sell of the store right now?
You know, store could use a refresh. We need a new mug, you know.
Look, I'm sorry.
They're pretty lackluster up until this point.
Yeah, we gotta add a few more mugs. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, let us know if you want something special.
Frickin'
we'll whip
Oliver
it up.
Twist over here. Yep.
So yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah, store's great. You know, everything's selling like hotcakes.
Except for the mugs. All right. No. Yeah. Go to the store if you want. You can also find us directly. Caitlin M. Bush, if your heart's in the right place and your loyalty is true and you shop at Rickles Hardware Store, you could be found where?
During all of those seasons, you can find me at Caitlin M. Bush. That is CAITLINM. Bush like the beer, not like the presidents.
Matt Romano, you can be found where?
I can be fined.
Please keep that.
I'm going to keep that.
After all, why not? Why shouldn't I keep it?
I can be fined at the Twitter or the X or whatever that hellhole is at Matt Romano, MattRomano.
And I can be found on Instagram at Brian Silliman. That's at BRIANS as in Sky Guy, ILLIMAN. But these days, my true affection is over on Letterboxd, where myself and some listeners of this very podcast are just having so much fun.
Oh, so much fun.
Do I love Letterboxd? Anyway.
And the Instagram. I mean, really, people have to get
in.
Oh,
yeah, I mentioned the Instagram.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to reiterate again. You know, let's get you another 10 followers. Yeah.
Shoot for the stars. Stretch out with your feelings and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. Subscribe, leave a comment, and give 5 stars if you're feeling generous. Snoke them if you got them. Take it, Sheevy. And remember, hope is like the sun. If you only believe in it when you can see it, you'll never make it through the night. Many boats. And be the spotlight.